Welcome to the Once Upon an Island podcast. I'm your host, Wesley, and of course, I'm joined by my co-host,
Mary.
And today, we're talking about Survivor 44, Episode 2. And before we get too far in Episode 2, Mary, I know we haven't even started, but before we get too far, I wanted to tell you all that I don't get a chance to listen to the Jeff Probst podcast, which I do recommend, before we record these, because we record these like 10 minutes after the episode's done. So let me catch you up, Mary. Last week on Jeff Probst podcast, he said that Bruce has been guaranteed a returnee spot on a future returnee season.
Oh, good.
46 confirmed. 46 is returnee season confirmed.
I mean,
on the casting website, it says they're only casting for 45 for new people.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
I understand. Yeah. It's not confirmed. It is very highly intimated.
Highly suspected. Yeah. Survivor 46 returnees, highly suspected. So, Mary, what did you think about episode 2?
It was pretty good.
Also, I didn't even ask, what do you think about Bruce getting a chance to return?
Well, I'm glad for that. We only saw him one episode. I mean, technically, maybe you say two, since it was 2 hours, but... And we know that Jeff was hyped about him, so he didn't make
it
the whole special.
2 hours. So really, oh, that's true. Right. Yeah. It was like one.
No, I mean, I thought he was a good character, and I liked him. And I always hate when someone gets medically evacuated because it's really like not their fault at all. So it's just really sad. So I'm glad that he gets a chance.
I think Pat from David vs. Goliath should get a chance as well because he was medevaced after they finished that challenge, the immunity challenge, in the very first episode. He never even got a chance. Yeah. And he was like half the reason that season even happened, according to Jeff. So
Jeff must not have liked him as much as he liked Bruce.
They haven't had a returnee season though since.
Well, he could have been asked though. And
for what?
I'm just saying. Oh. Maybe he was asked like if we ever have one and maybe he said no. You don't know.
No, you're correct because Jeff said Bruce is the first person from the new era who has been asked. He didn't say the first person. Period.
Okay, right.
So you're right. Pat could be on the short list. Mm-hmm. So Pat and Bruce. It's very rare do I think somebody deserves a second chance. But when you get medevaced because of like the way. Well, so Pat got medevaced because the waves hit the boat and it like made his disc and his back slip. Like, yeah, I think you should get another chance. Like, that is not your fault. And it was the first episode. Mm-hmm. He didn't get a chance to play. Not that I think he was going very far. Everyone seemed pretty annoyed at him based on the edit they gave him.
I mean, if your back is that... I mean, I don't know.
Should you be on Survivor is what you're asking?
Should you be on Survivor if you get injured while on the boat? I don't know.
It's pretty rough. It's pretty rough. So I'm not the one to make that call. And also, that was like 2018. So it's been 5 years, you know. Age usually doesn't help these things.
No.
But
especially when you have back issues. Like, back issues never get better.
Yeah. So we'll see. But Bruce has been asked back and I look forward to him coming back. And I look forward to I think I've said this before for Fans vs. Favorites 3, but a full returnee season would be fine as well. Mm-hmm. But I personally am hoping for a Fans vs. Favorites 3 for season 46. They skipped it for 36, which was a mistake. Mistake, I say. Instead, they wanted to drag James and Eric's name through the mud for the whole season of Ghost Island to make fun of them. I say this because I just recently worked on Eric's video and I went and watched and I'm like, wow, really? I mean, really, they've made a whole season based on just making fun of James and Eric. But like 20 seasons later, so it was really weird. Anyways, all right. So Mary, believe it or not, I mean, I know you were there and you did this with me, but believe it or not, it's board game time.
Yay.
And this week we got an expansion to a board game that we greatly enjoyed. It might even be our favorite cooperative experience of 2022.
It's mine for sure.
For between you and I, it was our favorite cooperative experience. Mm-hmm. It was The Adventures of Robin Hood. Mary, could you tell people about the game and the expansion that we were gifted by Cosmos, the publisher?
So it's a story-based game. You actually get a book with the game, which is really cool. And you make decisions and choices and you explore the board. And depending on where you explore and what questions you ask, it kind of guides how the story is going to go. So it's very much cooperative. It's very much story based. Mm-hmm. There is strategy because you have to kind of decide, well, which path are we going to take?
If you have ever played a game like Mass Effect, your questions do affect how things turn out. Like you ask somebody a question or you go a certain path on ask somebody something. And that's the path you go down. Like, it's like, okay, that's the only question you have to ask them. Move on. Like, that's it. So your choices do matter.
Mm-hmm. And the expansion, it was very similar to the original game, just adding a few more stories or chapters.
It was four more chapters, yeah.
Yeah, four more chapters to the original story. So I enjoyed it a lot. Like I said, it's one of my favorite cooperative games that mm-hmm. we played. It felt like you had a lot of freedom in your choices. I think we lost a couple of the games.
We definitely lost at least one. The first time through.
It was difficult enough where, you know, we felt like there was some risk to the choices that we're making. But at the same time, you know, easy enough that we felt like we could enjoy it and have fun. So I loved it. Yeah,
the base game's lots of fun. I highly recommend the base game. I'm going to put links in the description to the base game and to the expansion. And the expansion, like, it not only expands the story beyond the base game story, which was 7 chapters, but the expansion was also harder. Like, it made the game get more difficult as we went along. Instead of just making more chapters, mm-hmm. it was like more. Also, they expanded the board quite literally. Like, the board is getting so big, and I'm like, I'm waiting for the next expansion because I hope it gets even bigger. Like, I love that there's more land to explore. Mm-hmm. So it's a great game. I highly recommend it. For anyone who likes story-based games, if you like story-based video games, this is like the story-based board game. So thank you again to Cosmos for letting us play it and giving it to us. We greatly appreciate it. All right. So, Mary, I have come up when by me, I mean somebody commented this and I said, that's a great idea. I'm going to do it. Here's how we're going to refer to Matt and Matthew.
Okay.
Matt on the Green Tribe is still going to be Matt. Matthew on the Orange Tribe is MGM. That's the initials of his name. Okay. And that will be able, in my brain, be able to keep up with who is who, because otherwise I am so confused when we say the names.
I just don't understand how you're confused, but I'm glad you have a way of remembering. Now, I'm not going to be able to know who MGM is.
MGM is the orange mat.
I've got it.
Okay. Just for those in the podcast need to know before I start saying MGM, because the episode starts and we hear from MGM about him wanting Brandon to flush his idol. He says he played a shot so no one knows who he was with, which I...
Mm-hmm. We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
I think you said no, absolutely not. No way. And I said, yeah, I could see that happening.
You're like, that would be a smart move. I'm like, that's dumb. No, you're right.
I don't know if it's smart or not, but yeah. it was his move and it worked. So,
well, it's smart in the sense of, sure, it delays one tribal from anybody knowing your allegiances, but long term, what if you get down the line and you're like, oh, shoot, I wish I actually had my shot in the dark, because if I don't have it tonight, it's a 9-1 vote or an 8-1 vote. You know, something insane. Mm-hmm. Like, we get to the merge and it's like, everybody's like, I'm voting out MGM.
Right.
So.
Yeah. But at the same time, you have to understand that he is a big Survivor fan and he knows that this never works out. Like, the statistically, it's not great for him. So it's almost like, hey, I'm going to play it safe tonight. I'm not going to ruffle any feathers. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the idol flushed. And, you know.
And he wanted Brandon to flush his idol. So it makes me wonder, is he really on Brandon's side? We thought he was on Brandon's side. But you typically don't want your...
Is on his own side.
Yeah.
No, nobody wants anybody else to have an idol. Alliance or not. Mm. I mean, people can say, but I don't think there are very few times where someone's just ecstatic that someone else has the idol and it's not them.
Well, I think in this early in the game, I'd be okay with my ally having it. But yeah, we reached like the merge. I don't want anyone to have idols except for me, of course.
Right.
But like here right now, Brandon, you know, I don't know. But clearly, yeah, you're right. MGM's on his own side. My voice is over here breaking like Carolyn's is. I heard Carolyn's voice break throughout the whole episode. And by the way, Carolyn's a great character. But now I feel like my voice is adapting to Carolyn. Also, it's been rough all week anyways. It's been rough all week and now it's cracking. Brandon says he feels burned by Kane. I don't know. I mean, I guess anybody who votes for you, you're going to feel burned by.
Right. Well, especially when a tribe is this small. You know, I feel like there's not really anywhere to hide.
It makes MGM look smarter when he says that, because if MGM had voted for Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really it for the Orange Tribe. All right. So let's go over the Green Tribe, where the fun and games are happening, because if it wasn't for like this like one scene with the Green Tribe, this episode's like Survivor 44. Oops. All advantages. It's like the whole episode, man. All advantages all the time.
It was a real. We didn't get to the challenge till what, like 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah,
in?
It was like 8:30.
Yeah.
If you're going by standard with commercials and everything, it was like 8:30 when we finally got to the challenge, which is unusual. Usually with the challenge, like
right
somewhere between 8:20
and 25. I liked all the camp life stuff and some, and most of it
was very advantage focused.
It did revolve around the birdcage. So
yeah. Yeah.
But yes, we get a fun, sweet scene of Matt talking about his breakup.
And his, oh, we can't miss the dog talk.
Well, and his little dog that got taken by his ex.
He says his dog was the cutest. And you're like, oh, that's so cool. He has like a cute, like little dog from like Wizard of Oz. He says, looks like, and it turns out his ex stole the dog. And it's like,
it's probably her dog.
Ooh, and it's like, get you all riled up. You're like, come on, Matt, get revenge. And he's like, oh, but him and Franny. But then it's like so funny because Claire's just like giving these looks of like, I can't believe these two are doing this. Like, they're we should like spend time away from each other. And then they're like, we see them together still. And Claire's like, are they serious?
Well, the best scene of the whole episode. Claire told Franny straight, you know, to her face, yeah, you should probably cut it out.
Franny and Matt were giggling so much, though. Yeah. It was like impossible.
They're so cute. I love it.
It was like us on like our first date. Mary laughed.
Just the first one.
Believe it or not, first few dates, Mary actually laughed at every joke I said. And I was like, wow, man, I'm on fire. That changed. Mary realized not every joke I say is hilarious.
Well, it's not.
Wow. All right. Deeply offended. But they really can't stop flirting. And as I said, best scene of the whole episode for me is this entire flirtmance, mm-hmm. which I think is definitely more than just a flirtmance. This isn't like James and Parvati flirting with each other sexually on Mike or DJ. This is like a relationship flirtmance.
Yeah. No.
So definitely seems to be more. But anyways, everyone. So we cut over to Tika. So with Ratu, sorry, I meant to that. That's the tribe that MGM's on. Ratu, we got all that talk will happen after the tribal council. Mm-hmm. That's normal. With Green, we get a lot of character from Matt and Franny. And then we go over to Tika, and it's like straight to advantages. And this is the rest of the episode, so get used to it.
Right.
Everyone at Tika is looking for the key. Carolyn is looking, I said too high. Where she finds the snake is too high. Everyone knows. Look at your feet. Look at your knees. Look at worst case, your eyeball height. That is where all advantages are hidden off the walking path. In fact, where did she find the key eventually?
It was down in the roots of a tree.
Shocker.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you ever go on Survivor, this is a huge, like, this is, you've been told this is all you need to know. Look down on the ground to look at your like knee/hip mm-hmm. height. And worst case, if you looked everywhere that's on the ground and at those heights, it might be an eyeball height. Yeah. But that is so rare.
And just do what Danny did. Yeah. If I were hiding a key or an idol, where would I hide it?
Yeah.
You know, just look around.
If I wanted people to find it and I didn't want to hide it too hard, where would mm-hmm. I hide it at? You know, that's really got to think. Because the show wants these people to find the stuff. So they can have an episode like this where it's oops, all advantages. So keep that in mind if you ever get to play. Or if you play, I don't know, I was going to say like a home version of Survivor. But I would hope people playing home versions would be more creative. Anyway, yeah. So Carolyn does end up finding the key. I know I'm cutting around here a bit because we have another tribe to talk about, but she does find the key after the whole snake thing.
Mm-hmm.
And with her key, she gives us a backstory about her son. Could you tell us about this backstory with her son, Mary? And what did you think about it?
I don't really want to tell it. It's gross.
Okay, I'll tell it. So Carolyn says her son lost a tooth. Now, what I don't understand is, so he lost a tooth and I'm guessing he swallowed it.
He swallowed the tooth, yes.
Yeah. So she says she looked through his poop for 3 days. Now, I at first thought he took one dump and she looked through that one dump for 3 days.
No.
And I realize now in retrospect, no, every poop he took for 3 days, she was looking through.
It's so gross. I mean, at that point, you just like go buy a prop tooth or something.
Or you just say, hey, the tooth fairy knows it's in your stomach, dude.
Right. She's going to make an extra special card or something.
But like, Carolyn doesn't think like we do. We would have, as we said when we were watching the episode, I'm like, Mary, you totally would have been with Helen and Sarah. And I would see Carolyn and Jam Jam. And I'd be completely on their side. You and I would be on opposite sides on the own tribe.
Yes.
Yeah. You'd be like, I want to be with the rational people. I'd be like, there's a nut job on our tribe. In a good, loving way, I say this, by the way. There's a nut job on our tribe. I'm aligning with them.
Yeah, I know.
The person who's looking through his son's poop for 3 days, who I'm aligning with.
Yeah.
Just Could you imagine Carolyn at Final Tribal? I said this during the episode to you, but I want to say it to the audience. Could you imagine? Put her at Final Tribal. Can she maintain composure for 2 to 3 hours?
Probably not.
That's the thing. We only see Final Tribal for like 20 minutes. But in reality, it's like 2 or 3 hours. Can she maintain composure that long? Will people respect Carolyn? After 26 days, will they think that Carolyn is fun to be around or will they be tired of her? I don't know.
But she probably has a great story if she could get it across. That sure. People would be willing to give her money for.
Could Carolyn make Fire at Final Four? Either way, I'm saying Carolyn's a great person to drag to the end.
She's great television. Opinion.
She's great television, great casting. Possibly my favorite person they've cast in the first 4 seasons of the new era. Like 41, 42, 43, 44, I can't think of a person I like more than Carolyn.
So. That's pretty big.
Mary is not agreeing with me, by the way. Who's your favorite person in of this season so far?
Of this season? Yeah. Franny.
Franny. I do like Franny. But Carolyn's definitely my favorite. So everyone should know by now what kind of people I favor on the show. People are bringing the drama. So anyway, she looks too high, finds a snake, gets freaked out by that. But she ends up finding the key and she takes everything out of the cage, puts it on her person, goes back to her camp. Everybody is with, this is what blows my mind, everybody's with each other except for Carolyn. She's not with them as they go to the water well. So she's like, oh crap, I took everything with me. I need to go back and put the bag back. So she scurries back over, puts the bag, locks the cage, doesn't do an amazing job of covering up her tracks. Mm-hmm. And people still, I guess, this is what I'm saying about Carolyn. I think she's great to drag because people still don't give her the credit for going in that cage and getting it.
Well, to be fair, I thought she was immediately going to just start screaming or something and run down to the beach and tell everyone.
She kind of did do a little screaming when she got the key, but...
But I think in people's minds, people do underestimate her and mm-hmm. think that she is wouldn't be able to hide that because yeah. she does just show her emotions all over. But
yes.
apparently she was able to hide it well enough that nobody suspected her or nobody wanted to make her a target.
She says she's not telling anybody about this thing. Mm-hmm. But I was like, when she said that and then everybody discovered the cage, I'm like, she won't have to. Everyone's going to figure right. it out. But that's
but still no.
Not the case,
I thought
apparently.
It was so funny that Carson did his whole, I studied body language and FBI techniques mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And he was naming why everyone was suspicious. But his top suspect was Helen. But then Jam Jam thinks it's Sarah, and Sarah thinks it's Jam Jam.
At least Jam Jam is correct in a sense because he says he knows Sarah's lying, and she was like kind of covering up when they were dumping their bags out because Sarah does have something. He's right. Sarah has the inheritance advantage. So when Jam Jam was saying Sarah was lying, in a sense, Sarah yeah. is hiding. She's hiding the inheritance advantage.
Right.
Where is she hiding it at? I don't know. As Jam Jam said, I would hide it in my bra. This seems like a very easy one to hide in your bra.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where it is. So right. when she's,
I forgot about that.
She's feeling all, you know,
a little nervous.
Probably just because she actually does have something. So,
right.
and it's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. We learned since last week, Mary, I learned that the inheritance advantage, apparently, I think people paused and read the note. And it says that you have to play it when you go to vote. So I think you're basically rolling the dice that an advantage will be played at this tribal council. It's still powerful. It's not as powerful as I thought, which was when Jeff says, if anybody wants to play a blah, 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 you know,
right.
It's not at that moment. It's at, you have to play it like you play the
Shot
in the Dark.
That makes sense.
So it's a little less powerful. You're kind of rolling the dice, but in a sense, it's still pretty powerful.
Right.
Still pretty. I prefer that over the bank your vote advantage, frankly, which is just getting an extra vote at the end of the day. So yeah. All right. Carolyn gets it. At the end of the day, Carson is correct. He's like, it has clearly been opened. It doesn't look like it has any weight in it. Though, to be fair, and might as well talk about this now. So Carolyn gets the idol, and she gets beads out of hers.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, Ratu, with Brandon, he got a medallion. So they did a different fake object for every bag. And I wonder what the thought process of that. This is where the Jeff Probst podcast comes in. I'll have to listen to that if he talks about it. Because why do a different one for each bag? I guess if you do the same, then somebody sees the, I guess there is a way. But like, is the bead equivalent to a coin? Is that equivalent to a medallion? I don't know.
Well, first of all, they're all fake right now. So
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
They're all fake.
So it can be used however that you want, right? Yeah. So I think the main idea was to leave it in the bag just so it's some sort of weight or whatever. I also think if you don't leave them all the same, that once everyone's merged, it could be like, okay, wait, do they have a real idol or not? Because it's different than what I got.
I see what you're saying. They made them all different. So they're not like, oh yeah, we know the medallion's fake because in our camp.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That was my thought. I also had a thought, and this is probably just wrong, but I thought it'd be fun if somehow you got all three of the pieces together, they become an idol
like
or something.
Like a normal idol.
Right.
Yeah, I'm okay with them not doing that. We have enough stuff in the game as is. Heck, next time on Survivor showed like another advantage potentially being thrown into the game. I mean, I don't know. Danny was shoving some sort of paper in his mouth, it looked like, so... Hopefully this is not like 41 where it's like, can we just like slow down the advantages? It's okay. Mm-hmm. The normal idols are brilliant in the cage. Like that's
where we should still like
we should have started and ended there. Mm-hmm. Also, now that all the cages have been opened, we'll talk about Danny here in a second. Now all the cages have been opened. Is this a season where it's ideal to either A, reset them all during a certain episode, or would it be better to do a tribe swap and reset them during the tribe swap? Because we haven't had tribe swap in three seasons, but I think everyone's probably ready for something, anything to be different from the mm-hmm. last three. They do a tribe swap this season. I think it's the ideal time to do reset the cages mm-hmm. with regular idols, I want to point out. Not with anything new, please.
Right. No, I can see that.
Knowledge is power. No beware. Mm-hmm. It's going to be beware, I'm sure, but no beware.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think?
I would be down for that. I think that makes sense. And I think it switches it up enough that still keeps things interesting, but it's not too much new.
And at the merge, of course, there should be a new birdcage.
Right.
Yep.
Just one.
When there's like 10 people, whatever, 10, 11 people, however many there mm-hmm. are, new birdcage at the merge. Therefore, there's more people and there's higher stakes of the merge, of course, with the mm-hmm. birdcage.
I think if they do switch the tribes up, though, it should go down to two tribes.
Oh, no, I'd be okay with that. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. That's a great idea. Brilliant. You have a huge brain. That's exactly what they should do. I agree. It's been so long since two. And I've been watching some past seasons where they go from two to three. And I'm like, ooh, it's just like every time I'm like, why? Like it was okay the first time they did it because it was like a new thing to try. But it like doesn't work really. Mm-hmm. It never really works. Go from three to two, then down to one. It feels natural. It's how Survivor, you know, you get less people. Less tribes, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyways, all right, let's talk about it. Over at the Green Tribe, Danny looks for the key, finds it, he gets the items and replants the bags, and nobody suspects a thing.
Right.
Basically plays it perfectly. Mm-hmm. Out of the three tribes, Danny plays it the best.
Right. Yeah, he did a great job. I'm trying to even remember how his tribe, were they all looking for the idol at that point, or were they kind of distracted by Franny and Matt?
They might have been distracted. It was Matt and I believe Claire who went over to the bag and were like, yep, looks the same to me. Yeah.
Yes, I do remember that. I just remember something about like them talking about it and I think everyone looked for a minute, but it didn't seem to be as big of a deal as it was on the other tribes.
I think Claire even said, I haven't looked at the bag in 2 days.
Yeah.
So.
And then they walk over, yeah, it still looks the same. And yep. You're just like, what are you guys doing? Danny said this and I thought it was really good. Danny said, I don't know the best way to find an idol, but I do know the worst way is to not look for it or something mm-hmm. like that. And it seemed to me he was saying that nobody else is out looking for this. Nobody else is out doing anything. So I'm going to look for it.
But is Danny building relationships? Because all we've seen.
That's true.
Here and then even in Next Month Survivors, him out by himself looking for stuff.
No, that is a fair point. And you definitely don't want to be that person because it doesn't help your case at all.
The people be like, "Who, Danny, like you were always out and about. Like, I never had time with you.
Right.
Especially in a shortened game where time is really more crucial than ever.
Right. But he definitely does a better job. No one commented about him being out by himself.
Yeah, because they talked about Kane on Ratu, which we haven't barely talked about. They talked about Kane out looking mm-hmm. for stuff by himself. And they're like, he's looking for firewood. And then he finds the crab in the tree. And even the moment he found the crab in the tree and yelled for MGM, I was like, that's probably not a good idea. Because unless you're going to pull the crab out and find it on the ground, quote unquote, find, they're going to know. I mean, they already know, but they're really going to know.
Right.
Like, okay, you weren't looking for firewood inside of tree holes, dude.
Right.
Yeah.
They were definitely... already onto his game.
That's why I thought they were taking so long to get to the challenge. I'm like, oh, Ratsu's gonna lose again. They're just gonna vote out Kane. They've kind of already set this up in terms of you know, we don't, you know, Kane, he's not really part of the tribe. You vote for Brandon. I thought it was gonna be like an easy peasy Brandon or Kane vote out. Mm-hmm. That's why I thought it took forever to get the challenge, but that wasn't the case.
Fortunately, no. So you were surprised. Good.
Very mildly surprised. Yeah. But yes, I mean, you know me. Come on, Mary. We'll be like, watch episode. I'll be like, all right, Yellow's going to lose this challenge. And then yes. They'll win. I'll be like, well, as usual.
As I said.
No, as I said, as usual, I was wrong. So I'm much, you know what I find is my analysis, I'm much better when I have the whole season to watch.
Yeah.
Who knew? Mm-hmm. We're all just guessing here at the end of the day. I posted a meme today on Instagram. Yes, please follow me on Instagram. That's where I post all my memes. I sometimes post them on Twitter, but Twitter, most of the time, I'm just like asking people. I'm like, okay, where'd you get this piece of information from? Because I would like to know this as well. And then they don't respond because they're reporters and they can't reveal their... Anyway, it's the whole thing. Because I'll be like, well, how do you know there's a Survivor 46? What gives you the authority to save this? Anyways, so on Instagram, I posted when your winner pick gets voted out and your friend wants to talk smack, and it's the picture of... Thor looking at the Hulk from Thor 3. He's like,
yes.
Anyway, so
perfect.
I did think it was the perfect meme because I was like, man, watch this week. Watch one of my winner picks get voted off. They didn't. We'll have winner analysis later. Next week will be our next full blown winner analysis video. I might as well say it's now since I mentioned it. It won't be with Rebecca. She is out of town next week. So next week, I believe Mary, you'll be joining me.
Okay, cool.
You say that as if you didn't know it, as if I didn't ask you the other day. Yes. And you said, yep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe Mary and I will be doing it next week. So yeah, be on the lookout for that. We'll bring it up next week. So Danny finds Danny plays this perfectly, but yeah, is he building relationships? Not that we've been shown.
Right.
Not that we've been shown.
Not that we see.
Which is usually the most important thing for what we need to know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, back to Carolyn, because Jam, you said this, Jam Jam suspects Sarah, I wrote. Carson suspects Helen. Mm-hmm. Carson, despite all of his backstory, you're right, was dead wrong because Helen had nothing.
And I think that was part of the reason for his vote tonight. Mm-hmm.
That was probably part of the reason for his vote tonight. So it's now time for the challenge, but I do want to mention over on Patreon, right now we are voting for the Gabon story videos, all five of them. So if you want to pick who I cover for Gabon story videos, come on over. Every month we vote on videos from past seasons we've already covered, which is 1 through 16 and 18 every single month. So if you want a story video from one of those seasons that I didn't cover, every month we vote. And another thing, believe it or not, Mary, I might have told you this, but Amanda Kimmel, her Micronesia story video, will be the longest solo story video I've ever made.
Really?
I was blown away when I finished editing. I'm like, are you serious? So right now I'm trying to, once it clears copyright, I'm going to post it on Patreon. So it should be on Patreon next day or two. But yeah, it's 59 minutes. And I was like, what the heck is this? How? The longest video before was Marianne's, which at 53 minutes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amanda Kimmel, 59. I didn't think anybody's going to break the record till I got to Russell Hance and Samoa, but here I am. So if Russell Hance isn't over an hour, I'd be shocked. He is like the whole season.
Right. So. He has a lot of content.
I don't think even Parvati's. I bet you Parvati's. I don't know yet for sure, but I bet you Parvati's won't be as long as Amanda's. I think part of Amanda's, she went to almost every single tribal council. Mm. So that was a big. Right. And of course, she made it to the end of the game. So I think that was a big part of why her video's longest. But yeah, it's definitely worth it. There's a lot of huge moments. And come on over if you want to see it. It'll be up in the next couple of days. Also, Natalie Bolton, Sri Fields, all their videos are up there as well. Parvati's will be up there in the next week. Okay, so link in the description, obviously. All right, so we go over the challenge. And before you describe the challenge, Mary, mm-hmm. Jeff asks Soka, who do you want to sit out? And they sit out Claire. And he goes, again. And she's like, yeah. And he's like, your choice or like the tribe's choice? And she's like, both. And he's like, huh. And that's all he says. And I'm like, either A, they cut out what he said afterwards, or B, an older, wiser Jeff has kept his mouth shut, because younger Jeff, as we have seen, would have said something more than just.
And yet they kept it in.
They did keep it in.
So it makes me wonder if there's going to be something else to this.
I wonder if Jeff said something more and they're like, well, we can't just ignore the moment. Because I think they know we like snarky Jeff.
Yeah.
But no, we don't want the talking to the camera, overly nice like Jeff. We don't, because that doesn't right. feel authentic. Even right. if that's who Jeff really is, it doesn't feel authentic. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think I've seen enough Jeff in interviews, in the show. Just like, I don't think Jeff is overly nice Mr. Rogers Jeff. He's not Mr. Right. Rogers. Right. So he has snark in him. That's just who so Jeff is.
A little tiny taste of snark.
Yeah.
If that's what you're
Phil Kogan is who I expect to be Mr. Rogers. From Amazing Race.
Sure.
Like he, I know who he Phil is. Kogan doesn't really give a lot of snark. He has an eyebrow, mm-hmm. but he doesn't give a lot of snark. Jeff yeah. gives snark.
Yes.
Yes. So anyways, all right. So can you describe this immunity challenge, Mary?
It's an obstacle course, go up a rope ladder, get a sandbag, dump it out, get a ball, raise a ladder, raise a bridge, and then do a snake maze.
So. Yeah, you've seen it once, you've seen it a lot. In fact, MGM's seen this one a lot because he had already practiced it.
Right.
Which we'll talk about. But anyway, so they do this challenge. I was actually wondering if Ratu was going to lose again, as I said, because I thought Kane was going to be voted off. I was clearly wrong, mm-hmm. which is fine by me. So Ratu wins first, Sokka gets second. So that means Sokka, by the way, this is their worst finish all season, getting second in this episode.
Oh, really?
Yep. Sokka had gotten first both challenges last episode. So they've gotten first, second. Gotta keep that in mind. I wonder if Soka's gonna lose at all before the merge.
Hmm.
Unless there's a tribe swap.
Right.
If they do a tribe swap. I hope they do a tribe swap. Because I remember they said before, there was like, everyone like knew there's no tribe swaps for 41, 42. But I haven't heard if there's, like clearly there's none in 43. But I didn't like hear that ahead of time. So anyway, so yeah, Tika loses. And Jeff asks about this. And MGM says he practiced the snake at home, and I immediately went, why do people do this? Mm-hmm. I remember Evie in 41 did the same thing. He's like, how'd you get the triangle puzzle done in like 5 seconds? She's like, I've been practicing this at home. And everyone's like, oh, okay, like bigger target on your back now,
right? Yeah.
And it's just like, and I'm glad that when we go back to Tika, Carson says, I have built 3D puzzles and everything because I noticed they repeat a lot of challenges, but I'm not telling anybody that. That is exactly the correct answer. Good on you, Carson. Right. That's correct.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, part of it is just like you're so excited and proud of yourself in the moment. You know, you have worked hard for this and then like it's finally coming true. Oh,
it worked.
You know, so I don't. You know, I think it'd be really hard in that moment to say, I've worked so hard for this and I did it, and not be able to be like, oh, yeah, no big deal.
But you know, at the same time, you work so hard for this, you should know better.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're not, like, you know, it's hard. I know, I understand. I would almost understand if, like, when he won, he was so excited he said it. Like, it was, like, a huge emotional response. We're talking, mm-hmm. like, okay, the Air Two Tribes finished. Okay, we all got lined up again. Like, we're in school. You know, we're all talking to teacher Jeff. There's been time to settle down and calm down. He still said it. So, it just tells me that MGM may not be thinking ahead as much as we thought, but then again, Gabler won.
Yes.
Gabler made many mistakes in the pre-merge, so I'm not saying this is the end of anything. I'm just saying it's not a great sign. Carson saying that he would never tell anyone is a great sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when they made a point of showing that. And by the way, seeing the picture of Carolyn's son losing his tooth and Carson's pictures of him doing 3D puzzles, and it's like, who else have we gotten this for? Like, feels very much like they're getting a lot of focus. No,
we did exactly. Well, who was it last episode?
No, I spent this episode. But yeah, I know the last episode, a couple people they've been doing this since like 41 for random people.
Right. It's like the sob story, but just not, it was just a glimpse.
And to be fair, I'm thankful there are no sob stories. Yes. It's one of the best things 44 has brought us, is getting rid of something, which was the sob stories. All right, so back at camp with Tika, Helen wants Carolyn out, but Jam Jam wants to keep Carolyn. Mm-hmm. So we have a divide, basically. Helen and Sarah versus Jam Jam and Carolyn. Carson's the swing. He's playing double agent, and in fact, he says he loves to play double agent. Mm-hmm.
I really thought he was going to go with Helen and Sarah here for some reason, mainly because
he seems rational and they're rational, like normal rational people.
Well, yes, but no. Mainly because right after he talks to Carolyn, they cut to him telling Sarah, oh yeah, I just had to talk with Carolyn. I had to calm her down, but everything's going to be okay. And I guess if they were trying to surprise us, they wouldn't leave that in.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it was just confirming, yep, Carolyn is going to play her idol and we're going to blindside these other three people. But that's not how went, which I'm glad. I mean, I do think you're right. I think it probably was a good idea for Carson to go with Jam Jam and Carolyn because they are a little bit more crazy and out there. And
I think Jam Jam in front of a jury would be bad news. But but Carolyn in front of a jury, I'm like, yeah, please. So you got to get rid of Jam Jam. But here right now,
right.
Who's more likely to eliminate you in the future? Helen and Sarah or Jam Jam and Carolyn? You have to ask yourself. Personally, I think Carolyn plays very emotionally and Jam Jam seems to be more emotional. They might feel more bonded to you and less likely to turn on you later. Mm.
Yeah.
You think like an Ozzy. Ozzy's super emotional, probably one of the most emotional players ever. He does not turn on his alliance because he gets so emotionally bonded to them.
Right.
So rational people don't care like that. They'll cut you if they need to.
Right. Which makes sense.
Yeah.
So, no, I think he made the smart move. I think he's making lots of smart moves. And it's only been two episodes, but we can talk about that more later also. But
oh, is that going to come up here?
Well, I also thought that Carolyn, because she was thinking smartly, like she didn't just take it for face value that Carson was like, yeah, I'll be on your side. You know, I'll vote with you, whatever. She was just like, okay, but why would he do that? You know, I've got to think about this. ABC. She knows why Jam Jam. Well, her and Jam Jam are the old weird people, as Jam Jam said. So she gets it. They've bonded. They've connected. But in her mind, she was like, okay, but let's analyze this. Why is Carson going to, you know, what would benefit him?
Yeah.
So I'm glad she's thinking that way. At least, you know,
she's not an idiot.
No, she's not. No. So that was just nice to see a little
bit. She's just like a nut. Like
yes.
Shane Powers wasn't an idiot. He was just a nut.
Yeah.
Mary would probably say differently, but usually you can tell who's just like most people, at least definitely in this new era, are not idiots.
Mm-hmm.
They might not be as well versed in Survivor, but they're not idiots.
Like most of them do seem to be super fans.
Yeah, that's what the show wants you to think, whether they are or not. It's a different story, but
sure.
But we're definitely not. We don't have any like pure like we just pulled you off the street and we promised and like because they did. They used to do this. They get some like skinny cute girl and be like, hey, like. We're putting you on the show. You're likely to be voted off first. And if you do, you get to go on like a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Like that legitimately has happened multiple times.
Right.
In fact, the winner of season 19 was told this. So,
wow.
Well, it backfires sometimes, doesn't it? So Courtney Yates from 15 from China told the same thing. She actually thought she was going to be voted off first and she didn't. Obviously, we saw she got second place. So
right.
If you were hoping this podcast wouldn't have spoilers of past seasons, we've broken that barrier. All right. Yeah, Carson's playing double agent. So we get to tribal council and Carolyn cries. And that's when I actually had the first thought of put her in front of final tribal. Can she hold together?
Mm-hmm.
You know, tears usually don't work on a jury. I don't recall that ever working. It's not saying can't work. I'm just saying it hasn't worked before. And in fact, usually makes them go roll their eyes. Right. So
usually they want to give $1 million to someone who seems a little stable and put together and
when Jam Jam says she does this a lot in a good way. Yeah. He says,
yeah, in a good way.
It's like to Jam Jam, yeah, it's in a good way. But if you think about it, if he already knows she does this a lot in day five,
yeah,
we haven't even gotten deep in the game yet,
right?
So
true.
Usually people won't get more stable as we go along, but anyways, I love Carolyn as a character, just in case I haven't said that before. Okay, so Carson asked Carolyn, I think it was Carolyn, before tribal council, he says, is there ever such thing as a simple vote? I can't tell if Carson is being facetious or not.
I don't think he was.
There is. It's called Helen 3-1.
Yeah.
No, it was very easy. There's easy votes all the time. That's why the votes we remember are the ones that are crazy. Because if they were all crazy, we would only remember. Remember the one time there's actually an easy vote? That was crazy.
Well, I think in general, it's never just easy to vote somebody off, first of all.
Yeah.
And sure, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, yeah, you got to like weigh all your options. Is this person gonna be better for me? Is that person gonna be better for me? It's never just easy to be like, oh yeah, okay, we have to get this person out. Every now and then I feel like there is a we have to get this person out and everyone agrees.
I guess I was thinking easy in terms of how often does everybody just vote for the same person together, but you're right. I guess easy could be more of an emotional question, like is it ever easy emotionally?
And this would have been 3-2 if Sarah hadn't lost her vote. So
still would have been easy.
Yeah.
I mean, easy in the sense of like Carson had all the power.
Right.
Though when they were doing the vote, I think we knew it wasn't going to be a tie based on how much time was left just on the clock.
Right.
Which is one of the unfortunate instances of us as we're taking notes, we we're on our phone. Mm-hmm. So we the time's just there.
Right.
But if we weren't taking notes, I wouldn't be looking at my phone to see what time it was. But yeah, we just kind of knew there couldn't be a tie unless they're gonna do a really quick revote.
Right.
So yeah, we knew that Helen had to be gone because mm-hmm. Carson voted with Helen, it'd be tie.
And once again, I was surprised because I just thought again Carson was going to go with Helen and Sarah, mm-hmm. but Carolyn was going to play her idol and Helen would still go home. But so it was really surprising when Carolyn didn't play her idol. So again, she's not playing completely emotional yep. because she'd already been crying, feeling unsafe. So something in her made her say, no, I'm going to hopefully make, I don't know if that's the rational decision.
Though. Sarah now looks like she was telling the truth though, because she didn't vote. When she told them she couldn't vote.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So now everyone has either A, like Matt, proven that they can't vote, or B, actually didn't vote at tribal, like Lauren and now, mm-hmm. and now Sarah. So. Right. That whole thing of on the bench of hey, did the blah, 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 like that almost feels like it inconsequential.
Well, it still matters that she lied how she, because that's going to come up.
Yeah, I guess. We didn't see any result from MGM asking, hey, where's the note saying right. that you can't vote?
Right.
Of course, MGM could think to himself, is Claire just messing with me?
That's so. True. The other tribe might just be messing with me. Yeah.
That you just don't know. So until he sees Matt's loss vote. Mm-hmm. That could come up if there's a tribe swap or we get to the merge. I don't know if at right. the merge it would still matter or not, but we get to a tribe swap or merge and he sees Matt's. He's like, she was lying. Mm-hmm. And what does Lauren have then? That could come into play. So they could be setting us up for down the line.
I mean, what does Sarah have then?
Well, Sarah wasn't the one they were questioning. We're talking about MGM was with Lauren. MGM's would be okay, questioning what Lauren has. Sarah's on the purple tribe.
We were talking about Sarah.
People weren't really questioning because Sarah should have a note that says you lost your vote because she did lose one of her votes. But she also got an inheritance advantage, which nobody knows about. So, right. All right. Simple vote. Yes. Helen 3-1. Next time on Survivor. What's next time on Survivor, Mary?
Well, first of all, we have Kane playing around with a hero sword and wanting to be a
with
hero.
The immunity sword. Yeah,
with the immunity sword. Sorry. We have Danny doing some sort of ninja walk movement and eating parchment. Mm-hmm. So possibly advantages. But I also, did you see Jam Jam faint? It looked like Jam Jam fainted on the beast.
It
looks
like he was just goofing off. Okay. It was not fainting.
All right. So that wasn't real. I thought it was real. Goofing. And that was all I remember.
Yeah, I think it was all there was. No, we didn't get any teaser about Franny and Matt, unfortunately. I'm hoping for a Franny and Matt story to continue.
But yeah, it seems like they're. I'm afraid that they have such big targets, so we'll see how that goes.
We'll see. I mean, remember, we go to Tribal, and while there's six people on Soka, two of them are voting together. So all they need is one person to vote with them to make it a tie.
Very
all
true.
You need is somebody to not like somebody else, or for somebody to be like, Danny has been out by himself a lot. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. So we'll see. Soka's the big question mark at the moment. Who's with who? Because they haven't been a tribal yet. Mm-hmm. And they've been winning challenges. First, now second. So we'll see if next week they actually lose or not. All right. So you ready for the question of the week, Mary?
I am.
Okay. What happened last week on Survivor at Tribal Council that has not happened since Winners at War?
Since Winners at War?
This has not happened since Winners at War, but it happened last week on Survivor at Tribal Council.
Someone played... No, I was going to say this shot in the dark, but that's never happened until
last
week.
That was not on Winners at War. Nope.
And that wasn't even at Winners at War. I have no idea. Can I get a hint? Is there A, B, C?
Yeah, it happened at Tribal Council. Oh. I'm not giving you A, B. I don't have A, B, C.
Someone played an idol.
Yes, Brandon played the idol and in negative votes, and he saved himself.
Oh, okay.
That has not happened since Winners at War.
That was the only other thing that happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was like, when you said it wasn't the shot in the dark, I was like, she's got it. It's the only thing that happened. Well, yeah, that's what happened a lot. That has not happened since Winners at War, believe it or not. Despite all the crap they've thrown in the game, 41, 42, 43.
That is crazy.
We just haven't had a straight up idol play where somebody just saves himself in four seasons. It's absolutely insane. All right, so.
Thanks for an easy question.
Well, we'll see if you can get, you got last week, so you're 1-for-2. You didn't get this week's. You got last week's.
I didn't get. What do you mean I didn't get it?
Maybe 1.5. You said played an idol, but you didn't seem very confident. It seemed like you were just kind of
Yeah, that was the only other thing that happened to Tribal. I mean, yeah, that was the only other thing I could remember.
I love you, Mary. Okay, so let's move on to winner analysis. As I previously mentioned, in case you skipped to this part of the podcast, next week with Mary, because Rebecca will be out of town, Mary and I will be doing a full in-depth winner analysis, talking about the remaining, I believe at that point, there will be 15 players. So we'll talk about every single one of them. We'll rank all 15. But for this week, we're just picking our top three players.
Right.
So, Mary, who is your number three and why?
My number three is Matthew.
MGM?
Yeah, sorry, MGM.
That's okay.
Because of the content that he gets a lot of content. He does seem to be pretty smart. He's a good, good at challenges, very good socially.
He did say the thing about practicing his
Yeah, he's made mistakes. So his practicing, you know, that's kind of a mistake. He's probably going to be too honest and open about things sometimes. But I just like him as a person. I would like to see him go farther. And I think he does have a good chance of it.
I like Matthew as well, MGM. But let's talk about my number three, Jam Jam. So, as I just explained last week, but in case you missed it, I have the Matt theory we're going with. I know this has been talked about in the edgy community, so I'll bring it up. The Matt theory is if Jeff talks you on the mat, you're eligible to win.
On the very first day.
On the very first day, when you first get land on the beach. Yeah. And if you're all, when he does the first mat chat. This season, though, he only talked to like three people. People went back further than 41, Mary, and apparently, I believe Tony was talked to in Winners at War on the mat. Though that one's like a little harder because like who wasn't talked to on the mat? I don't know. It's like a lot of people were talked to on the mat in Winners at War.
I'm sure.
Only going back as far back as 41 because the new era is a little different. So in the new era, Erica, Marianne, and Gabler were all talked to on the mat. So this season, Jam Jam was talked to on the mat. He was one of the three. We'll talk about the R2 and my other two picks. But outside of that, Jam Jam is in the majority alliance in Tika now.
Right.
So had he gone tonight, this would have blown my whole theory out the water. That didn't seem like that was happening. It seemed like it might be Carolyn. It wouldn't have been Jam Jam, but Jam Jam gets good content. Yeah, this week he was toned down a bit. Maybe the lack of food is helping a bit in that, but we do see him like faking the passing out or whatever it was next week on Survivor where he's just goofing off. So Jam Jam's a fun character. I don't know if I have anything strong to say about him strategically, but as a character, he's fun, and he was talked to on the mat, and so I'll stick with him for now. But he gets screen time. He's not ignored.
Yes.
Like, straight up, when we were watching the immunity challenge, I was like, who the heck is Josh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, who is this guy? He's, like, on the green tribe, and he's, like, doing the snake, and he wins. Who is Josh? I know everyone got talked to the camera last week, but, like, Josh was ignored this week.
Right.
We at least heard from, like, Claire on the green tribe this week. So I don't know. This is part of the result of not going to tribal. Like, had they not gone to tribal, I don't think we would have heard from Carson this week. To be fair, we didn't hear almost all our Carson's content was after they went and lost the challenge. So.
Well, I had that he and Helen kind of narrated the key cage stuff, but
felt like we had a lot more Carson. I guess
we
is what
did
I'm trying
get
to say.
Probably more.
Yeah, if I had a top four, Carson would be at number four, but he does not make my top three because of the Matt theory. So, all right, Mary, who is your number two?
Carson, actually.
Well, good timing. What do you like about Carson?
I love Carson. He is so sweet. So he thinks he might overthink too much, and that might be his downfall because he thinks about everything, people's body language, you know, he looks at the bag in the cage and says, oh, it's been moved, it's open, you know, so he's constantly thinking. He does seem to be liked. He was able to go to whichever alliance he would have wanted last, you know, in tonight's episode. So he seems to be likable. He's strategic.
He said he's not gonna tell people us 3D puzzles.
He's smart, right? Yep. Yeah, he's funny. I just think he has a pretty good chance. I know he's young. We've talked about that.
That's probably his biggest detriment.
But, and that will probably, you know, him overthinking and just not having the wisdom to make the right decisions. But I think he has a really good chance to go far.
Carson embodies a super fan. I mean, do put on like 30 pounds of muscle to get on the to be on the show. So definitely dedicated, along with making the puzzles. Other people have made the puzzles too. Another thing I like about Carson, and this is, do not count this at all towards any sort of like, is he going to win stuff? He posted online the other day on social media how he actually spray painted the books he brought with him to the pregame Ponderous, whatever it's called, blue. So nobody knew what books he was reading. They just thought it was like blue hardcovers. He was reading books like on how to read people and stuff like that. You wonder, because I think they still had to, I mean, even without a quarantine, I don't think quarantined for 44, if it was only for like a few days, they still have to like do pregame press and all this other stuff. They're sitting in Fiji for like 5 days before mm-hmm. they start the game. So they got time. So he was reading like how to read people and stuff, books like that. And he didn't want people to see him reading that. So he spray painted them blue. Right. So just like boring blue books mm-hmm. without their dust cover, if that makes sense. Dust jacket. So
yeah, he seems really smart.
But that does not count towards the winner's analysis because that was not in the show. And I doubt it will be. So.
Gotcha.
All right. My number two is Franny. I like Franny as a person mm-hmm. in the game. Of course, it really helps that her and Matt are having a little, you know, love flirtmance, lustmance, whatever. I don't think it's lust. Flirtmance, whatever you want to call it. They got, I mean, my biggest detriment to her, I almost moved her down to number three because of this, though I don't feel too strongly about Jam Jam either, is with Franny is, of course, the target this puts on her back. Mm-hmm. And how they even legitimately showed, despite acknowledging, and I know it's hard, acknowledging the detriment this is to her game, we still see them flirting and giggling. And it's like, so the show made a point of like, despite knowing not to, it's hard not to. And I was like, man, maybe I should move her to number three. And if this continues into like next week, I might. Jam Jam might move up just purely based on Franny.
Right. Like, yeah, it makes me a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
She's my number one.
So oh, well, her, perfect yeah. transition. Yeah. So Franny's your number. She's still your number one. I thought she was your number one last week.
She is still my number one. It's only been two episodes.
Yeah.
Yes, I
she
did.
She should be number 10 now, Mary.
I did actually briefly consider switching out her with Helen.
Helen, you're number four?
Helen, who got voted out today.
Yeah, was she your number four, is what I'm saying?
Just watching the episode tonight, because Helen was getting a lot of content. But I realized later that's just because she was going to get voted out.
That's because she was getting the boot.
But no, I mean, I still just like Franny. She does. We hear from her. We've heard from her in both episodes. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been able to see much of her strategy play, except that she knows she shouldn't be with, you know, talking to Matt as much or around him as much. That's like the only strategy we've seen from her so far. So
Ahsoka has yet to go to tribal. So that's a big detriment to her. And
exactly.
Matt.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, we'll see. I just really, really like her personality. And I'm really hoping she goes far.
Dude, imagine being on Soka and then watching these episodes being like, oh, our tribe's just about Franny and Matt.
Yeah, that would be lame.
That would suck a little bit. Right. Like, oh, all right, I guess I'll wait till next week hoping they'll talk about anyone but Franny and Matt.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
She could be kind of prominent just because of her and Matt's relationship, which is probably
I'm sure.
True.
And they're not going to tribal, so there's like any strategy talk at this point, it's like null and void. Like, it doesn't really matter. Unless you're out like Danny out finding the key and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. that's the only way to guarantee yourself screen time is finding something.
Right.
You find something, you guarantee yourself like a minute of the show. It depends on what you're on Survivor for, but if you're on Survivor for screen time, that's what you need to do. So my number one is your number three, MGM, Matthew.
Yeah.
Even
though he told everyone he practiced?
No one had a perfect episode today, except for everyone on Soka.
No one ever has a perfect episode.
So, yeah, he did say the thing. We'll see. I don't know if that would be the end-all, be-all. I don't think people are going to be... I don't know. That would only come up, I think, if we were at the Merge.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, holy crap, Matthew's won three immunities. He's probably practiced all of these at home.
Right.
You know, if he was on like immunity streak, that's when this would come up. But here, it's the second episode. It's dumb in the sense of telling everyone, but is it dumb that he's good at it? No.
No.
Is it dumb that he practiced it? No. It's just the showing off. It could be something he could have subtly mentioned back at camp. Like, yeah, actually, I had practiced back at home. People like, oh, that's cool. But like, telling it to all three tribes in front of Jeff kind of makes it a thing.
Yeah.
It's not really a thing. You should make a thing. So that's like, but that's my biggest detriment. Because otherwise, he seems to be in the social majority on his tribe. Mm-hmm. We saw how he smartly did not want to pick a side last week. I don't know if that was smart. Maybe he didn't want to go with Brandon. I don't know. But he's thinking ahead. I do wonder if that shot in the dark will hurt him later. Like, maybe he actually needs it. We'll see. Not that it's saved anyone ever, but...
Right.
Case it could have, I guess. So I think Matthew's in a good spot, MGM. So he's my number one. But yeah, in terms of my top three, they're all three of these people are talked to on the mat, as I said, just like Gabler, Marion, and Erica. So we'll see.
We'll see if it's
I bet
one of
you
them.
If one of them is it, Watch MGM win. 45 Inc. can have no Matt chat or all 18 people you talk to on the mat. It'll be something insane. Or they'll pick like the first three boots to be talked to on the mat just to like make a point. Yeah. I could be wrong.
That'd be funny.
Or they'll just do it again because they don't really care. I don't know. They like to mix it up. So I bet you 45, but I don't know. I almost feel, I wonder if the show like does things until they notice everybody starts catching on, then they change.
Yeah.
They're like, we're going to keep doing stuff. Okay, now we're changing.
Right.
I don't know. I could be wrong. So that's our top three for this week. Okay. Are you ready for TV ratings?
Sure.
Just kidding. All right. So ready for questions?
It's like, are we doing that? I didn't know.
I thought about bringing back TV ratings this year, but I realized that was probably the part of the podcast people cared about the least. So if you really care about TV ratings, comment below. Maybe I'll bring it up. But if I don't get any comments about it, I'm not going to. It doesn't seem like people beyond me. Yeah, thanks. People beyond me didn't seem to care. So, all right. First question is from Nick. Do you think Carolyn is accidentally going to give someone the real idol and keep the fake one?
What? No.
He says, well, do you think Karen will be like, oh, here's the beads, but accidentally gives them the idol and she keeps the beads?
No, I do not.
Yeah. I think that would be an idiotic move.
I mean, could it happen? Sure. Do I think it will happen? Yeah. No. I don't think Carolyn is that. I mean, she's smart.
The odds are on Carolyn not doing it. Not that it can't happen, but sure. The odds are that Carolyn's not going to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think Carolyn is a bit crazy, but I don't think she's an idiot by any means.
Yeah.
Okay. Silent Storm 45 asks, if you were the tooth fairy and you knew where Carolyn's son's tooth had been, would you take it?
No.
No, I just leave the money.
Hey, if I'm the tooth fairy, I have magic. I can clean that sucker up really quick.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I'll remember this next time I...
Never mind. Cut that off.
Next time one of our animals loses a tooth or something, I'll... Anyways, I don't know where I was going to go with that. I thought I had a joke and I didn't. You know, our first date, you would have laughed at that.
Yes.
All right. So I every year, every season this happens, we have a follower. In fact, a patron. UWU. Do I know how to say this? I still have no idea how to say this. I know there's a way to pronunciate it, I'm sure.
It's because it's not a word.
But there's a way to say it.
It's like an emoticon.
People have tried to correct me. I've yet to figure it out.
Okay.
Sometimes I'm an idiot. So anyways, they commented, Matthew revealed he built the challenge in his backyard. This puts a target on your back. But at what point do you have to reveal that pre-merge to get your tribe to trust you to do the puzzles and challenges? Do you do you have to reveal this to get them to trust you to do the challenges?
Well, you can reveal it to your tribe, like you were saying, back at camp, if you want them to trust you to do the challenge.
It could have been that they were talking about, how do we want to do this challenge? Who do we want to put on the snake? And Matthew's like, I want to do it. And they're like, yeah, but what about your arm? And so he may have revealed it then to them, but still, that's better than saying to all three tribes.
Right, you don't need to tell the whole freaking everyone.
No. Rare for Mary to say freaking. Is this something you should, all right, no, this is the second part. Is this something you should always keep to yourself, or is it just part of the game now? We should assume everyone is making some of the challenges at home. I don't know. If I want Survivor, I don't think I would be making challenges at home.
With as many people as don't even practice fire, I am not assuming that people are out there building snake puzzles on
the backyard. That is the thing I'd be practicing. I would definitely
practice fire.
Yeah. The thing that your life will actually come down to in the game. Though, then again, Matthew could have been like, you know, MGM could have been like, this could be an Edge of Extinction season I'm going on. I don't know. And the Edge of Extinction both times has had the stupid snake thing to get you back in the game. So he could have been thinking 40 chess here.
Right.
I don't know. Next question is from Blue Jay. This is Tika is the only tribe I genuinely fear going tribal council. I hope they can pull a Baka, aka Gabler's tribe, and make it through to the merge without another tribal council. Oh, no question from them this week. They just wanted to say that they enjoy our weekly discussion. Thank you, Blue Jay. I forgot why I liked the comments until I got to that part. I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, if you compliment the podcast, you're likely to get your comment. Just like if you want to be on Survivor and get screen time, look for an idol. If you want to get time on the podcast, compliment us, apparently. All right, Calvin is real asked, why do you think Carson sided with Carolyn and Jam Jam?
We talked about this a bit in the breakdown. Basically, because they're probably going to be bigger targets later on down the road.
Carson thought Helen had the idol, I think, too.
Also, Carson thought Helen had the idol. Yeah.
No one suspects Carolyn, apparently.
Right. Right.
Good for Carolyn, I guess. Silent Storm 45 asks, how do you feel about players practicing challenges before they come on the show? And do you feel like Survivor should make new challenges so they can't do this?
Ooh,
yes.
Yeah.
Abso-freaking-lutely, yes. There should be no repeating. We should go seasons, and I mean 5 seasons between challenges coming back. This snake should not even have appeared. We should not see the snake again. I don't know if it happened in 41, 42, or 43, but I know it happened in Winners at War, so it shouldn't have come up again until at least 45. Like, we should have gaps. We should be years without these challenges.
We should have another Blair Witch Hunt challenge. That was really
good. You haven't even seen Borneo.
You showed me that.
I know, but I'm surprised you mentioned it. Oh my gosh, Mary, that was a deep cut. Yeah, no, if they did the Blair Witch one, I think everybody would just laugh.
Oh man, no, they should definitely not do it. I'm just saying.
And then Rudy can go, I don't know.
I'm just saying, I'm sure it gets tiring trying to come up with challenges and stuff, but they have years and years of things that they haven't done.
And we have so many challenges, yeah, that we haven't seen in a long time. Heck, when we were like watching China Micronesia, I'm like, some of these, I'm like, they could bring these back. Like, we haven't seen some of these in forever. Mm-hmm. Like, these are not, and they don't require a lot of space. That was one thing I think when watching Micronesia and Palau is thinking about is like those challenges, they didn't have a lot of space to work with. Mm-hmm. In Fiji, they actually have more space to work with, and they were getting creative in Palau and Micronesia.
Right.
Same location, of course, just the seasons were different. All right. So, just the creativity. And I wonder how part of that is how many times can they chop down? How many trees are they allowed to chop down? I'm sure it comes into materials as well.
Yeah.
Like, where are they getting all these trees from? Where are they chopping them down? Like, does Fiji want them chopping down every tree on the island to make, you know, where are the trees coming from? Are they all from Fiji? Are they from somewhere else? Are they importing them? You got to think about this stuff, too.
Yeah.
So that's why they reuse stuff, I'm sure, all the time. I'm sure that's the same exact snakes that were used in Winners at War, just put in storage. So if they truly are going to, by the way, this was mentioned last week in the podcast, Inside Survivor posted on their Patreon how Survivor is rumored, doesn't know for sure, rumored after 46 go to a new location. If they go to a new location, will we see more new challenges? Because they've been sitting in the same location for, at that point, 13, 14 seasons.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
I hope so too. Yeah, I hope if 47 truly is going to be a new location, that, yeah, please, let's go all new. But yet, the same gameplay. Okay, next question from Colin Baker. Am I the only one who finds Carolyn so annoying and wanting her gone this episode? I put this, Mary, because I feel like you and I are not in agreement on Carolyn. I think Carolyn is gold. But you are like, yeah, Carolyn's okay.
Yeah. She's not to the point where I'm really annoyed by her yet. But at the same time, I'm not like, oh, yay, Carolyn's back on the screen. Yeah.
I just feel like we haven't seen somebody like Carolyn in forever.
Mm-hmm. She's definitely memorable.
I appreciate it. I don't think I want a Carolyn every single season, but I do think Carolyn is cast in gold. Okay. Damon Williams asks, do you think there will be another idol for the Ratu tribe? I think a better question is, do we think there will be another idol for every tribe? Because now every tribe has found the idol.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about this earlier. At least I said, if there's a tribe swap, they should do another one. But if there's no tribe swap, why not do a hard reset in episode 4 and put in and reset everyone's birdcage? Because at that point, all the birdcages, and in fact, they could put a note on the birdcage saying, birdcage at every camp has been opened or whatever. So we're resetting them. Something along those lines in their fancy Survivor.
And then that basically outs that people have the idol.
Well, outs that the other tribes have found. Doesn't tell you who has it. Doesn't tell you if they've played it. That just tells you that all the camps, adding more paranoia to
I'm saying somebody in your camp has an idol. For example,
because right now two tribes are covering up. Yeah, because
they haven't played them yet.
Well, the purple tribe knows it was found. But you're right, the green tribe. Ooh, yeah, you don't want to out Danny. That wouldn't be fair. So the only way to do it then, you're correct, would be to... Now, if it was like Ratu where everyone had found it and Brandon found it and everybody like knew, I think you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Why out Danny?
Yeah, I don't think you can yet. Danny. Until they've all been played, I don't think you do a hard reset on all of them.
Yeah.
But when one is played,
a tribe swap. Yeah, and therefore, during the tribe swap, they can reset the cages. Yes,
or that.
Or a merge. But I'm hoping before the merge, only if it's regular idols, to be clear. I don't want anything else those cages. All right. This is not a question, but as I said before, if you compliment, you get on the podcast.
Man.
Amara Jordan says, been on vacation, so I'm super behind all things Survivor, but can't wait to watch your videos and see the breakdown. You're the go-to channel, so keep rocking.
Thanks.
Thank you. Mary's over there like, this isn't even a question.
No, I appreciate it too. Yeah.
Anyways, well, I appreciate you all listening. And thank you for liking and subscribing.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see y'all next week. Thanks for listening to my nonsense. Okay, bye.
Bye.